Amen. Today we want to talk about praise. When Brother Larry opened the meeting today, his prayer before the Lord, and I'm going to write this up on the board here. I heard Larry talk to the Lord in this prayer, and he said, "We come before you, Lord, in thanksgiving." I'm going to write that. Thanksgiving, worship, and praise. So let's look at these things. We have come before the Lord to give this to the Lord. Amen. Larry, I'm just saying that when you opened the meeting today, this is what I heard you say. And by the way, this is not just an impromptu word because I heard it from Larry, but I think it was a confirmation that Larry spoke that because that's what I felt the Lord wanted us to talk about today. I want to look in the Word. I will go back and, you know, that I use the Bible as a basis for what we're going to talk about. So let's just do a study on this today. We'll go through the Word. Follow the history of this and see what God is really saying to us today. You know, brethren, we can have a ritual where we do this. Could I add the word song as well here? But song can be thanksgiving, it can be worship, it can be praise. So let's just put the word song here, also singing. There's other ways to praise and to worship, by the way. But let's go back to David. You know, the Psalms, the book of the Psalms. What does Psalms mean? The book of the Psalms. Yeah, it's songs. So, can I tell you where to look in Psalms? Yeah, I can. I'll pick a few out, but it will be impossible for me today, which I'm not going to attempt to do, by the way, to go through everything that David said and everything that David did. David was a praiser, wasn't he? How many of you know that? David was a worshiper. David was a man of thanksgiving. He was a man, you know, he's the one that he set up a certain group of Levites for the purpose of praise. That was their job. That's all they were responsible for is you just all you're to do is you're to praise the Lord. Whenever anybody comes anywhere near the temple, or even if they don't come near, you guys praise. I want praise going on in the temple of God all the time. Amen. So, you know, the temple of God, of course, speaks of us, doesn't it? God wants to dwell in a temple, and He wants to dwell in a temple that have these aspects. It delights God for us to worship Him. It delights God for us to praise Him. It delights God for us to give thanks to Him. How many of you give thanks to God every day? What do you thank God for? You thank Him for the day. Amen. I'm sure Larry was thanking God for that day when it looked like all hell was breaking loose.
not right there. But
he got to it. Yes, amen. Lord, thank you for this day.
Amen.
You know, this winter it's stormed a good bit. I wake up and look out. I listen to the weather forecast and everything. Oh, boy. Am I going to enjoy this day? But you know what? I say, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all you're bringing this day. If you need to bring storms, if you need to bring snow, if you need to bring judgment, so be it, Lord. Amen. If you need to have it pass me by and miss me, I thank you for that. You know, we were supposed to get a real blockbuster again this week. What happened to it? It went north of us. It went north. You don't have to go very far north, and they were getting a foot of snow. And I mean, my tractor was in the in the shop, and I said, you guys got to get that tractor back to me by Wednesday. We're going to get a lot of snow. So sure enough, they delivered it Tuesday afternoon, and I tested it out. Everything's working real good. Wake up the next morning, where's the snow? Didn't get any snow. But you see, I think God delights in our having an attitude of we are going to praise Him, we are going to thank Him, we are going to worship Him no matter what happens.
Are you taking?
Yeah. Hold on.
I went grocery shopping. They had a sale. Buy one potato, get the next one free. Carrots, buy one, get one. Onions, that sort of thing. So I got double of everything. So I had corned beef and cabbage Monday, and we went through that. And then I'm thinking, what am I going to do with the rest of the carrots and, you know, potatoes? So I bought a roast, and I cooked it. So Haley, which is the oldest, says to me, oh, we're having potatoes and carrots and this again? Mimi, can't you cook something else? And Zoe came behind her and said, you should be thankful for what you have today. I mean,
amen.
And she was thanking you. She was thanksgiving
thanks. She was here.
Yeah.
I met her.
So it's just,
I know that
giving
thanks.
It blessed me. Amen. So we're back on the record here, and I want to look at a few verses in Psalms. Can we start in Psalms? Let's start in Psalm verse 22. By the way, there's a whole lot more of the word than the book of Psalms, but let's start in Psalms. Psalms chapter 22, and we're just simply going to go to verse 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. What's that say? What is inhabiting? It means He lives here. Where does God live? He lives in praises. Let's take the other side of the coin. When we make a statement, is not the other side a different kind of truth, the negative side? So if He inhabits praises, what's happening when there isn't praise? What would that be? Grumbling, complaining.
Negativity.
Yeah. Rebelling. Whatever. It could be rebelling, couldn't it?
Yes.
Complaining. Does God inhabit that?
No.
Obviously not. If He inhabits praise, then He doesn't inhabit where there's murmuring and complaining and such the like. And you know, by the way, Job was a very upright man, wasn't he? But you know what? Job complained. You read the book of Job, and he said, this is my complaint. He wrote it right out. I would say thus and thus to God. If only I had a chance to go before the judge, I would make my case, boy. I would tell him thus and thus, you know. And that was the second word that the Lord spoke to me when I had the heart attack. And after I recovered somewhat in the hospital, in other words, I got my consciousness back, I came back, and I began to say, people would say, what happened to you? And I would say, well, I didn't deserve this. I've lived a good life, you know. I would say, look, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a smoker. I have never put a cigarette to my lips all of my life. I mean, I would go through all this ritual. And I said it to the nurse. I said it to the doctor. I said it to my family. You know, God bless Chris. He comes in, he says, it's that smoking you meant to... He was just busting on me. I said, Chris, I never... And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord said, speaks. He said two words. Job's complaint. I said, complaint? God, am I complaining? I'm just telling everybody I don't deserve this. And you know, it really stung me what the Lord said. Really stung me. And I had to really begin to think, what am I doing? What's going on?
Form of self-righteousness.
Yeah, it was self-righteousness. That's what it was. It was pride. It was all that. Doesn't go with praise. All right, let's talk of... So Psalm 22, verse 3, is the Lord inhabits the praise of His people. All right? So if you want the presence of the Lord, what do? How about the presence of the heavenly host? You suppose you could get them too? I think there's been many times that we praise the Lord in the congregation here, and the heavenly host has been here with us. I have been aware of it. I think they're here when we're not aware of it. But there are times that we are aware of it. There are beings here. We don't know who they are. They're all over the room. You know, I've often thought, if you're a spirit, a soul in heaven, and God gives you the liberty, He says, listen, my people are going to be praising the Lord today. Where you go wherever you'd like to go. Wherever there's praise going on, you can go and join them. Where do you suppose those people would go? I'm talking about we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. I mean, that's in the Word of God. I'm not making things up. They come and they surround us. Who of the heavenly host, where would you want to be? Would you want to be where people are just going through a ritual? Or would you want to be where there is actual praise before the throne of God? Yes, of course, you got the answer. Now, let's take a few other verses from Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 95. I'll try to take them in order here. Psalm 95. I'm just picking out a few. I told you I could do the whole book of Psalms. But I'll pick a few out. The first two verses. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. So you see, this kind of atmosphere includes the song, doesn't it? Includes singing songs. Let us sing unto the Lord. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So you see, the word thanksgiving is involved here too. Okay? And make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. And that word psalms in chapter 95, that'd be number 2, that is songs. David is saying with songs. Okay? Let's go to chapter 100. Some of these are chapters that you're very well familiar with. I think we'll do the whole chapter here. It's just a few verses. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. How many of you are capable of making a joyful noise unto the Lord? Amen? Now, by the way, a joyful noise unto the Lord doesn't necessarily mean you're in perfect tune. Right? Yeah. Some people have the gift of being in perfect tune. That's a nice gift. Some people just have the gift of making a joyful noise. Now, if you're just the joyful noise maker, you probably are not the one called to lead the praise. Okay? That's probably not your gift. Okay, but you can join in with a joyful noise. All right? Now it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. So you're going to have to come before the Lord. Brother I know, Brother Chijoki in Africa, he says, every time you come before the Lord, you always come with an offering. Did you know that? You always come with a gift. You come with an offering. And what gift can I give to the Lord? He's not interested in my money. He doesn't need that. What does God need? You say, God has needs? Well, I guess I can use that term, can't I? Yeah, he has, his desires are his needs. He needs us. Now, he can do without us, and he can do quite well. But he has put himself voluntarily in a position where he... I mean, you. Some of you have children, okay? Do you need your children? Well, in a sense, you don't. You can get by without them. But, you know, when they come before... When they come and give you something, particularly part of their relationship with you, it's something that you very much appreciate. Amen. And God is like that too.
It brings you great joy.
It brings joy to you, yes. Yes. Now it says, verse 3, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." So we come before the Lord with an attitude. The attitude is, you made me. Not I'm the boss, but you made me, and I'm just your sheep. Okay? And he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations." Now, let's do the little drawing again. You remember? Well, it's right here. You can see the drawing. Enter into his gates. Where's the gate? Which one is the gate? The gate is the outer court. Okay. Enter into his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Enter into his courts.
Praise.
With praise.
Worship.
Yes. So we're coming in deeper and deeper into the things of the Lord. Again, if he inhabits the praise of his people, how do you enter in to him, to his presence? The same thing. Praise is the ticket. Praise is the key. Okay? Did we do... Yes, that was 100. Let's do Psalm 150. And then we'll get into a few other things. 150 happens to be the very last psalm before the book of Proverbs. David is saying here, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise God in the sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Amen. Praise him for his mighty acts. So if you're looking for something to praise the Lord for, now we're getting into Thanksgiving here too, aren't we? Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. In other words, you're not... First of all, you're saying for what he's done, and secondly, you're saying for what he is. Excellent greatness. Doesn't say he did anything. Doesn't say he's done anything for me. It's just, Lord, you are really great. I mean, I could thank you for saving me. I could thank you for saving me from all my trouble. I could thank you for saving my life in the car the other day when I should have had an accident. I can think of those things. But if I just say, oh, it's just your excellent greatness, I don't need to even remember anything more than that. It's just that you really are great. And that I'm thanking you, I'm praising you, I'm worshiping you for that. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. So here we have not just song, but we have praised him in instruments. Now, I grew up in a church that didn't believe in instruments. Oh, they believed they existed. They would not allow them to be used. And so I had to make some adjustment in my theology, come into a place. I hear people, you know, using the guitar and the piano and this type of thing. I say, whoa, well, that's pretty good, you know. That sounds like praise. And I could sense the Spirit of the Lord in this praise. So my old theology had to go by the wayside. It wasn't just the human voice that could praise the Lord. It's some of these other things. What are the things that are mentioned here? The trumpet. Okay, what's the trumpet? A trumpet is probably what you would call a brass. Yeah, yeah. It's a brass instrument, and there's different kinds of brass instruments. There's clarinets. There's trombones. There's trumpets, of course. I don't know what are tubas and sousaphones and
French horn.
Oboes, yeah. Not the woodwinds, just the brass. Okay, so praise God with the brass instruments. Amen. Praise Him with a harp. Okay, what is a harp? A harp is a large stringed instrument. It could be a small stringed instrument. Was that a guitar I saw you bringing in today? That's a harp. It's a type of a harp. Yeah. Okay. Praise Him with a timbrel, right over there on the bench next to Fernando. Hold it up, brother, so we can see the timbrel. Just pick that up and hold it up so we can see it. A timbrel, there we go. It's a tambourine. Okay? Now, we're going to see an example where God was praised with one of these. That's okay, brother. We don't need to do it right now. Amen. I'm sorry. I opened up a can of worms here. Amen. Praise Him with the timbrel. Oh, and what else? What's that next word? Dance.
Dance. Yeah.
Dance. Oh, my goodness.
We don't see much of that dancing.
Is that because we're getting too old?
I don't know what it is, but you don't see much of
it. Well, you know, first of all, these things should be done in the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, do we agree? I've been in congregations where it was a ritual. And they had a doctrine. If you didn't dance, if you didn't jump, if you didn't leap at least 3 feet off the ground, I mean, remember the group up north? Or you were never there. Oh, that brother, he had them going, and wow. I mean, they were leaping like gazelles.
More often than not, it's common.
And it was flesh. There was a lot of flesh involved. Now, I've been in meetings also where the spirit of the dance took over. And it wasn't, I don't believe it was carnal. Jana and I got into a group up in Brant Lake. Do you know where Brant Lake is? The brother from Newcomb took us down there. And they were a little fellowship out of New York City. And I would not have thought that New York City could have anything that good. Because I don't have good memories of New York City. And the people of New York. I think the people of that part of our state are some of the rudest people in the world. I mean, that's my experience. But I met some beautiful people from New York City. And they have a church in New York, and they have this camp up in Brant Lake. And they call it Pilgrim Camp or something like that. And we got into a meeting. I can see we're not going to do this in 1 week. We got into a meeting, and there was a sister playing the piano, and she had been healed of a stroke. I mean, she had a powerful testimony. She was an older sister. She was, my definition of older, I was in, you know, my late 30s or early 40s. Older meant she was like 70. So I'm older, that doesn't count anymore as being older. But she was about that age. And she was playing, and there was a young people there. There was I particularly remember this young man, and he began to dance, and he began to leap, and I tell you, there were people all over the room. We were all standing up. and he would bounce between this one, between that one. He would land over here, and I looked, and he had his eyes shut. I don't know what was guiding this fellow. And then we were standing in a line, and then this thing of dancing began to move down the line. And it hit this one first, and then it went to the next one, it went to the next one, and Janet and I were standing up on this end, and she's looking at me like, is this thing going to hit me too? And I don't know what, I don't really remember what happened, but we went home and we were talking about it, and we judged that this was of the Spirit. We'd never seen anything like this before. It wasn't a ritual. It was just something that broke out among the people. So praise Him with the dance. And I will show you in the Word of God where people praised Him with the dance. Okay? What verse are we on? Praise Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. So a stringed instrument, again, includes the harp, but it includes a lute. And a lute is like a small guitar. Okay, I think that's what they had in those days. And with organs. Now, I don't know what they mean by organs, whether they mean things that are pumped air or what it was. I don't have the translation of that. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Do you know what I mean by loud cymbals? These are big brass things that you clang together. They don't clang them all the time, just at the right time. And by the way, did you know that the cymbal is one instrument that cannot be tuned to any key or any note? You cannot tune it. And every cymbal makes a slightly different sound. So there's none of them that are precisely the same. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. So you see there's high cymbals and there's lower cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, by the way, what's missing from this list? Did you notice? There's no drums. There are no drums. And you know, every church that I go to outside of our own people, they've got drums. I don't have any problem if you need an amplifier. Do we need an amplifier here today? Is everybody in the back row able to hear me okay? I get into little groups that are no bigger than this, and they have a great big amplifier. And the guy has a microphone, and he... It's like it becomes a necessity. God does not say, praise me with the amplifiers and the bullhorns and the microphones. I'm wondering, how did Jesus manage to speak to 20,000 people and be heard? How did it happen?
They didn't have no Woodstock.
You know, no Woodstock, of course. We went into the Bible school in the Philippines, and they had their drums in the corner. The guy was really ripping them off, you know. And when Brother Tijoki got up to speak, he's from Africa, and he tore right into that thing. And I tell you, it... it caused no small stir, because when you come against their drums, you are coming against a sacred cow. And somebody said, it's not in the Bible. Well, this kid gets up and he reads, I think he was reading from here, and he says, praise me with the drums. And I said, what version are you reading from? Well, he said, it's an NIV. I said, well, you can put that thing away, because that's not what the Bible says. The closest thing to a drum, of course, would be this tambourine. But it's not played like a drum. Even though it has a skin, whatever, that's not a drum. And Tajoki was telling how in Africa, the drum is used to call up spirits. Did you know that? When they start working that thing, in, and they send these messages along from village to village, they can hear that woom, 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 woom. And it carries on, and the spirits begin to come. Unclean spirits, I'm talking about, come in to the place where they're doing this. He was telling also the story of a group came into one of the cities. I don't know what city. I can't tell you anymore. It was a big, one of these big hyper type of religious groups, Pentecostal type, you know, but not necessarily Pentecostal. And they were working these drums, and they said they were praising. They really had this thing going. And one of the big sorcerers came to the people that were running the meeting, and he said, "You have got to stop this." He said, all my spirits are coming here, and they're leaving me. You have got to put a stop to this. You're putting me out of business." So you see, these things do attract spirits, but God has given His way to attract the Holy Spirit of God. All right, now, let me just define some of these words. You understand what praise is, okay? You understand what thanksgiving is, and you also understand what worship is. Now, can we do all this when we have a meeting, when we have a gathering before the Lord? We can do all this, can't we? And I'm not going to get into a big lecture on it, but you know that there are some songs that are more given to one or the other. There are some songs that are more given to praise, okay? They're just more praisey. What can I say? There are some songs that are more given to thanksgiving. And then there are songs that are given to worship. And worship is mentioned in a different light. By the way, do you know what the word worship usually means when it's in the Bible? Oh, when it says that somebody worshipped?
Generally, it's a positioning of the body.
It means that they went down on their face before the thing that they were worshipping. When it says that Abraham met the men and he worshipped, that means that Abraham went down on his face before the Lord and he worshipped in that manner. Now, we're not usually inclined to do that, but nevertheless, I believe that worship is a matter of what's going on in the heart. Okay? But there's nothing wrong. If you want to go down on your face before the Lord, go down on your face before the Lord. If you want to kneel before the Lord, kneel before the Lord. People have different traditions about this. When we first went to Germany, way back in about 1990, they had a thing that nobody could possibly worship by sitting down. No, where was it? Was it in Poland? I think it was in Germany, too. There was a group that... And they said, we said, "Why? Why can't you pray sitting down?" Oh, I know. I know where it was. It was when I went to Russia. And there were people that came into Moscow to these meetings. They came from all over Siberia and all these. These are Pentecostal people. And they had a doctrine that you could not pray it was. You could not pray sitting down. And I asked one of the brethren, I said, "Why?" He says, "Because every example of prayer in the Bible is they're either kneeling down or down on their face or they're standing up. So they were allowed to pray standing up, but they were never allowed to pray sitting. Now, I know they had a lot of rigidity it had become kind of a ritual to them to believe. I'm thinking, what about a guy that's confined to a wheelchair? You telling me he can't pray? You know, are you going to have to pull him out of the wheelchair and put him down on his face in order to pray? So they had a lot of legalism. I'll give you another example. By the way, David, I don't know where it is. Maybe you can find the verse. He also said, "Clap your hands," didn't he?
I should have looked it up. Do you remember where it is? It doesn't matter. Do you agree with me that it's in the Word? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout with a... And all the trees shall clap their hands. Well, was it the first year that we went to the Philippines, Rita? They took us out, way out in all these villages, to all these different places, and they took us to a Seventh-day Adventist church. And they gave us the liberty to bring some songs, and so we did. And it was just a lively song of praise, and we began to clap our hands. And the pastor got up, and he right in the middle of the song, he got up and he said, "Stop, stop, stop, stop!" And we all stopped, and we were just stunned at why is he stopping us? He says, "Nobody is allowed to clap hands here." And I said, "But it's in the Word of God. It says so. David said, clap your hands." He said, "I don't care what the Word of God says. It's our tradition. You don't clap hands when you're here having a service before the Lord." So, again, I'm telling you, people can have traditions, pro or con, just like I grew up where you couldn't have any instrument. Couldn't have a piano, couldn't have anything. And, of course, the people were very proud of their voice. "Oh, yeah, we're a cappella, and boy, are we good at it," you know? And here's a tradition where they would not allow anyone to clap their hands. Are we allowed to dance? We are if the Spirit of God comes upon us. Now, let me go back now, and we're going to look at a little bit of the history.
There's a verse for that, Psalm
47:1. Psalm 47:1, okay. Let's read that. Let's read it. Shall we read it? Psalm 47. Oh, yes, here it is. I knew it was here. "Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph." So a shout is kind of loud too, isn't it? A shout isn't just...
That's the joyful noise.
That's the joyful noise. Okay, let's read verse 2. "For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is a great king over all the earth." Livia, you got a verse?
In Psalm 47, in Spanish.
Yeah.
It says, "Pueblos todos batid las manos." No, batir is not clap. But, to the hands,
but it means wave your hands. Okay, that's interesting. So anyway, whatever it is, you praise the Lord with your hands. You can wave them, you can clap them.
Psalm 98:8,
okay, and Livia is going to look that up in Spanish for us too. 98:8. It says, "Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together." Now, I imagine the floods and the hills don't have hands, but they're...
Same word.
But the whole thing there is talking about praising the Lord.
It's praising the Lord, yeah.
Go back a few verses. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." It talks about the earth, rejoices in the Lord, and using harps and...
Well, here it is. "Sing unto the Lord with a harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar." Amen? Even the roaring of the sea is going to give praise. Amen? "And the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell in. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity." Now back here in 150, I think it was, it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord."
Everything that has breath.
Everything that has breath. Yeah. I mean, let the cow praise the Lord. Moo. You know? Let the dog praise the Lord. Amen.
Everything that was created of God is to praise
the Lord. Everything. The whole earth is to praise the Lord. The trees moving their arms back and forth. I went out yesterday, no, was it yesterday or day before? I took a long walk, and it was just warming up after all the ice had been, and the trees were making a little tinkling noise. Clink, ting, clink, clink, ting. All the little ice was coming off the little branches, and they were making a little praise noise. It was a very high-pitched little tinkle, tinkle noise. And I thought to myself, isn't this great? They're praising the Lord too. Okay, let's go back to, it's interesting to go back to the first mention of some of these kind of things. You know, the book of Genesis is so good because it is the first of many, many things that we can take an example from. Okay? So let us come to the 15th chapter of... No, it's Exodus. I'm sorry. I said Genesis. It's Exodus. By the way, do you know of any examples of praise in Genesis? I'm thinking of Genesis, and I'm not sure that I'm aware of any. Can anybody think of any? I can't think of any. But Exodus comes next, and there is indeed a good example. The heading on chapter 15 says, Israel praises God. Well, it's just the heading that the publisher wrote over the 15th chapter. In other words, the 15th chapter is about Israel praising God. Now, at what point did chapter 15 come along? What was going on in Israel during this time? What had happened? The plagues were over, right? 10 plagues, they were all over with. They had come out of Egypt, okay? We'll get to Miriam here in the 15th chapter. They had come out of Egypt. They had come through the Red Sea, okay? They were over on the other side now of the Red Sea. And they had seen the destruction of the greatest army in the known world at that time. Am I right? Egypt had the mightiest force. Egypt was a power that no nation could equal. So, it says... I'll start with verse 29, I guess. Let's go back to verse 28. No, 27. And Moses stretched forth his hand. That's the chapter before, 14:27. Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. Talk about a total annihilation of an army. How many of you believe God could still do that today? I mean, a mighty army? America? Russia? He could do that? That he could. Yeah, but we've got weapons today that they, you know, I mean, we've got things in the sky and
we.
I mean, they, Russians and the Chinese and Americans and the mighty ones. We've got drones and we've got satellites and my goodness, you know, a big old jetliner disappears with all this electronic and satellites and everything else, and nobody can find it. And I'm wondering how easy would it be for God to just confound all this computerized stuff? Do you realize just a bunch of bursts from the sun would just wipe it all out? Are you also aware that this year the sun is coming to its maximum in, 11 or 15 year cycle of these kind of prominences that throw out all this stuff that fries all this electronic stuff? Solar flares from the solar prominence. It sends, I don't know what the chemical name of these, I'm not a physicist, but it sends some kind of electrons or something.
Radiation.
Yeah, some kind of radiation, not the kind of radiation you think of from a bomb, but just stuff that confounds. All that stuff, yeah. Anyway, it says, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were well unto a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left hand. Now, we're not just talking about people going through a swamp. Do you hear me? There's theologians that say, well, they crossed in a swampy place, and it really wasn't much of a miracle. Come on, a wall of water on my right hand and my left hand is not going through a swamp.
If that be so,
how did the Egyptians all drown? You see, these are people that don't believe in God, that say things like that, okay? It says, thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. The dead bodies washed this way and that way, and they were washing up on the side where the Israelites were. Dead Egyptian soldiers. Amen? Let's see. So they got delivered. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What was now in the heart of the people? Fear, first of all, and belief. I think these are ingredients for praise. How can you praise the Lord if you don't fear the Lord? I mean, there's something good about fear, isn't there? No, you're not just quaking and trembling, and you're not afraid of, oh, he's a terrible... Well, yes, he's a terrible God, but he's a loving God. But they also believed. It wasn't just a theory that he's great. When you see something like this, you know... He's great. So, what was their response? Verse 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. So, Moses is singing. 80-year-old Moses began to sing. I think it started with Moses and his sister. And it spread throughout the whole camp. How big was this camp? It was a couple of million people. I don't know what a couple million people look like in one place, but I think it's a pretty big crowd. And, yeah, there you go, 20% of New York City. I don't know of any coliseums or anything of the sort, sports arenas or whatever. I don't know where any of them where you can gather 2 or 3 million people together at one time. They say they have a million man march in Washington. People say, a million people never showed up. You know. But Moses sees this, and his first response is to sing. I do not recall any other place prior to this where men sang before the Lord. Now, in Job, it says something about, where were you when the sons of God sang, isn't it? Sang before the Lord? Where Job is apparently recounting something that happened maybe even before the creation.
We're gathered together.
Wasn't there something about song in that? Just coming to me. Anyway, let's go on with Moses' song. And he spake, and he sang unto the Lord and spake. So it wasn't just, he wasn't just chanting. See, there's people that think chanting is singing. Chanting some something that nobody knows what they're saying. I don't think that's singing. There's people that are conjuring up unclean spirits that do something like that. I've heard people say they're speaking in tongues, and I think they're just chanting something.
I don't know if there's any place that really refers to chanting.
No, but it's people that are involved in witchcraft and this type of thing. They get involved in it. So it says he spake and he sung, and in the song he spake these words. Did you find it?
Well, in the first, this may not be what you wanted, but at the beginning, it says they presented themselves, the Son of God presented themselves before the Lord.
No, it wasn't that I was looking for.
Later on.
It was later on. I think God was asking him something about where there was a song involved. But that's not in Genesis or prior to this in Exodus. Okay. So he spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord. For he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea. By the way, do we know that song?
Yes.
So this is the song of Moses, the first song ever recorded. We know that song. Now, I'm not saying that that's the exact notes or the key or anything that Moses was singing in. But we have it, and it's a beautiful praise song. I will sing unto the Lord. Amen? And the Lord is my strength and song. See, the Lord is my song. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Amen? The depths. That's not a swamp, is it?
You want this Job?
Yeah, go ahead with Job.
Will you, when I lay the foundations of the earth, declare if you have understanding? Who has laid the measures thereof, if you know? Or who has stretched the line unto it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together,
there it is,
and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
When the morning stars sang, and the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, that's something that must have happened long before Job's time. What event is he talking about? It's a thing that happened before anything happened on this earth. God has something going on in heaven. And he's saying, Job, what do you know about it? Were you there, Job? Who are these morning stars? Who are the sons of God? Before us. I don't know.
Well,
must be angels.
Before his fall, Lucifer was called son of God.
We'll get to him. Yeah, we'll get to him eventually. All right. So, what verse did I leave? Verse 6. 7. 5. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. What?
That's another song. The next two verses are
another song. Oh yeah, we have songs for all these verses. Amen. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. My, what's going to happen when the Lord sends forth his wrath? Do you realize that we're getting close to that day?
Yes.
The day of the wrath of God.
Yes.
We're living in the day of mercy. But the day of the wrath of God is also coming, brethren. It's coming. God isn't going to put up with this nonsense much longer. Amen? And with the blast of thy nostrils.
I can't do much with a blast of my nostrils. I can't stir up anything. But it's just God, the blast of his nostrils, just blowing his nose. I mean, he caused all this to happen. The waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword. My hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them. They sank as in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee? Amen. O Lord among the gods. There's another song that we sing. Who is like unto thee? O Lord among the gods. Somebody said to me one time, well, you shouldn't say gods. But that's what it says. He was talking about false gods. And it's spelled with a little G.
He's making a comparison,
yeah. Who is like unto thee among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Do you think Moses is worshiping the Lord here?
Yes.
Yes, he is. He's telling the goodness, the greatness of the Lord. Amen? Let me go down here a little bit. Verse 18. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now, verse 20. Miriam. And Miriam, the prophetess. Who was Miriam? Sister of Aaron, sister of Moses. And here she's called Miriam the prophetess. Now, what do we know about anything that Miriam prophesied? By the way, do we know anything bad about Miriam? Yeah. We know that Miriam got to a place one time where she joined with her brother Aaron and they started to criticize Moses. And what happened to Miriam? She got leprosy. And she had to be put out of the camp for a few days until she repented. And then she was healed and she came back.
She should say something to us.
Yeah. Murmuring and complaining. You see, murmuring and complaining, unlike praise, opposite of praise, shall we say, and it creates a disease. And the disease eats away at people. So we don't want to partake of murmuring and complaining and this type of thing, do we? Amen? We don't know a whole lot about Miriam. We know that she was a woman, a girl. As a girl, she was a girl of faith. She was older than Moses and older than Aaron. But we know that she volunteered with her mother to watch over baby Moses. She knew that her baby brother had a calling on him. She must have thought she's just an unprofitable little handmaiden, a little servant. But she's going to go out there and she's going to hide in the bulrushes. And she's going to watch what's going to happen to this little ark. And when the king's daughter came out there with her maidens to take their little swim in the Nile River, oh, what a cute little baby. It looks like a little Hebrew baby. And so Miriam came out and said, would you like me to find a nurse for it? And of course, in those days, bottles weren't purchased with milk in the supermarket. It had to come straight from a mother. And Miriam said, I'll find a mother for that baby for you, and we'll just keep it for a while, and then we'll give him back to you, okay? So Miriam was the one that took the initiative to do all this. So she's one of the key people. She, her, and her two brothers, the key people of the whole. She was
She was representing the woman's role in the movement of Israel through the wilderness. And when she stepped out of line, God corrected her. But he brought her back. So she's called Miriam the prophetess. Now I suspect for her to have the title Miriam the prophetess means that there was something more about Miriam. I suspect that there were times that people came to Miriam for counsel and she gave them the word of the Lord. Maybe people that were afraid to approach Aaron or Moses or something like that, but they came to Miriam and she gave them the prophetic word. I don't know what prophetic word. She's Miriam the prophetess. But we know that Miriam the prophetess was also a singer. And she's the one who took the initiative to lead Israel in this. Let's read it. What happened? Okay. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. So that means she had one. They didn't just make it right then. They must have had it before. They must have used it back in Egypt somewhere. Took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. So other women had these timbrels too. They had a little, you know, they would shake these little things and hold them up in the air. And they, what were they doing? They were dancing. It says Miriam and the women. So she got all the other women to follow after her. I think Miriam was known back in Egypt. Before they left Egypt, they knew who Miriam was. She was a mother in Israel. She was known for her gift. I mean, she didn't just come into this the day they crossed the Red Sea into some kind of recognition where the people recognized that there was a gift in Miriam. Okay? And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he hath thrown into the sea." So she was actually answering what Moses had already said, her brother. And she's saying, "Come on, gals, let's go." The horse and rider, and she's dancing with the women. Can't you see a picture of this? Can't you see 800,000 women with their timbrels praising before the Lord, and the women were all following, and they were walking, and they were singing, and they were just, I mean, 750,000. And they were full of joy. And they were full of joy. They saw the deliverance of God. Would you not sing? Would you not praise? And wouldn't you love to have read the rest of the story that says, "And this joy carried them all the way to the Canaan land." You see, it was of the Spirit. But the flesh quickly took over, didn't it? The devil was not going to allow this kind of spirit to last. The next stop, they were thirsty. Amen? And they came to Marah. And what does Marah mean? They came to bitterness. And the water was bitter. And they couldn't drink. And they praised the Lord. No. I would love to read, "And they continued to praise the Lord because they remembered the miracle at the Red Sea." No. They said, "Oh, he's bringing us out here to die." So you see, praise is good. But you need to stay in that position of praise. Even when the thirst and the bitterness and the circumstances come up, you need to remember the goodness of the Lord. Amen. For the Lord is good. The Lord is still good. Amen. It says, "And they murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink?" You would think, what they saw yesterday, what they participated in yesterday, they could remember today. But they murmured. It says, and cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. How'd they stand up in their proof? Not too good. And then the next stop, amen. And the Lord, let me just read 26 and 27, we'll close with that. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, how many diseases do we have that belong to Egypt? I think all of them. Why are we getting diseases that belong to Egypt? I mean, where do you think swine flu belongs? Pigs! Swine! It isn't called Holy Ghost flu. No. Where do these diseases... Come on. We've all been afflicted by things from Egypt. They don't belong to us. What are you going to do with things that come from Egypt? Send them back. Send them back. I've done this before. Lord, this thing doesn't belong. It belongs to Egypt. I'm not going to have it. Send it back. Let Egypt have it. If the Egyptians want it, they can have it. Amen? So I am the Lord that healeth thee. This is a statute. This is an ordinance that God made. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And you don't have to carry the things of Egypt with you into the promised land. You can leave them back there in Egypt. You don't have to have them. But he made a condition, didn't he? Didn't he? If thou wilt, amen, if you will hearken to the voice, if you will do what is right. So if you will listen, if you will do, and if you will give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, there's a condition for you not to have the things of Egypt and for you to have the God that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. What did he do? He brought them to a nice oasis. And it was a very pleasant place to be. He was merciful. God bless you.